Football season's getting started. And of course, I'm reading everything I can read about my favorite teams. And right now, we're trying to figure out who's going to be a starter and who's going to be a backup. And everybody right now is concerned about bench strength. Are we going to have enough players, good players, in case somebody gets hurt, in case somebody gets tired, in case something happens to one of our other players? Do we have enough players to put in the game so that we can stay competitive the entire game? Sometimes it's not how good your star players are that defines the championship team. Sometimes it's the strength of the bench. In corporate life, they talk about the leadership pipeline. And the sign of health in a good corporation is not who the current leadership is, but who you can see within that organization who are being groomed, trained, prepared to take on the next generation of leadership. It's bench strength. It's the leadership pipeline. Do you know when the Roman government started persecuting the early church? Do you know why they could never succeed in wiping out Christianity? Because they could never kill the leader. They executed Paul. There was Timothy. They executed Peter. There was John Mark. They would put John on Patmos. Somebody else stepped up in the churches in Ephesus. They could never find the one leader because there was always another leader ready to step up. The crisis in North American churches is right here. The leadership pipeline. The health of the church in North America is not so much determined by the leaders we have in our pulpits right now, of that generation we're preparing to step up when we're gone. Stand with me now in honor of God's word as we hear Paul's instructions to Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, you commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, you commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Pray together. Every time we read the news, we're told about the next generation that's stepping up. The boomers are moving off the stage, and now Gen X, Gen Z, millennials are coming on. And we pray that as Paul told Timothy, we would hear that same word and pour our lives into this next generation so the leadership pipeline would always be flowing, so our bench would always be strong. And we pray this in your name. Amen. You should be with us on Monday afternoon when we have the pastor's meeting. At 2:30 on Monday, we meet just as the pastors, and we go over how to pastor a congregation, the nuts and bolts of how you actually lead a congregation. What are you dealing with? What questions do you have? What struggles are you dealing with? And it's everything from family to marriage leading a congregation, communicating vision, talking about tithing, and all those kind of things we talk about. We also later talk about the sermon. How did you preach? When I watched your video, and I watched the videos on Sunday night. The videos are sent to me, and I watched the videos of all the sermons on Sunday night, watching the game film. And I'll ask them, when you got to this point, why did you decide to do this? Are you aware of how you look when you gesture? Okay, are you kind of paying attention to these things? And one day, one of them looked at me and said, why are you working us this hard? Nobody we talk to goes through this. And I said, here's why. One of these days, I'm going to have to sit out there and listen to one of you. And I don't want to be out there going, man, he botched that. One of these days, I'm going to have to sit out there and listen to one of you. Paul was running out of time. He had been under house arrest for a few years now in Rome, but even he could read the signs on the political walls. Nero was under pressure. Nero had to deflect blame. Nero had to find somebody to push it on, and it would be easy to blame the Christians. Soon, Paul would be beheaded, his ministry over. He would have kept the faith. He would have fought the good fight. He would have finished the race. Now, what would the church do without its most prolific teacher? What would the church do without its greatest theologian? The one who could take this giant arc of salvation history, starting with the person of Abraham, going across the history of Israel, teachings of the great prophets, show us how all of that brought us to the epic salvation event of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection. And then from that, explain to us what the resurrection means in real life. How it transforms your marriage. How it transforms your purpose. How it transforms the way you think about each other. All because Christ has been raised from the dead. All because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His word defines reality. What will we do as a church without Paul? We'll find Timothy. Paul knew he would not live forever, so he poured himself into Timothy. In 2 Philippians, in chapter 2 of Philippians, we have what we call the kenosis hymn, that your mind should be the same mind as that of Jesus, who, being equal with God, did not consider equality with God something to be snatched, but poured himself out. Okay, the literal picture is a pitcher of water being emptied out, being poured out, being the contents being transferred from one holder to another. That's what Paul did. He poured himself into the life of Timothy so that Timothy could then pour himself into the life of another. There are no shortcuts. There are no better ways to do it. It is life on life. Okay? Now, I know We want to work at home. We want to Zoom in. Even Zoom is telling its people to come into office. Did y'all see that? Zoom's not letting you Zoom into Zoom. Why? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. People have to be together. It has to be life on life. So Timothy, understand, you have a God-sanctioned responsibility to pass this faith on to someone else. So that means, first, this faith has to be real to you. You cannot give what you do not have. It's not a matter of technique. It's not a matter of skill. It's a matter of knowing. I know this to be true. I bear on my body the marks of the gospel. I have lived this out. I have tested this. And here is what I know. And now I'm pouring it into your life. A lot of us want to be teachers, but we don't want to go to the University of Jesus. We'd rather read about Jesus than have a conversation with Jesus. We don't want to sit with an open Bible in front of the risen Lord and give him free rein in our life. Is there anything in my life that would cause you to hesitate to trust me? Is there anything in my life you need to deal with? We want to get the head knowledge. We don't want to have the heart knowledge. And we don't want to have the knowledge that comes from the faithfulness of obedience. So you can't teach because you don't have the degree. First, you turn off everything else in your life. I'm serious about this. You are a disciple of whatever you pay attention to. And if you're watching cable news all day long and you're reading your Bible for 15 or 20 minutes in the morning, what are you being discipled by? Turn it off. Open your Bible. Begin to read. As you learn things, as things come to you, write them down. This is the main source of truth in your life. It is the main source of value in your life. It is the main source of purpose in your life. And it's all written in God's Word. You can't get it anywhere else. People come to me all the time, well, what book should I read? Read the Bible. Don't read books about the Bible. Don't read books about the guy who read the Bible. Read the Bible. Now, I hope you read a lot of books. But at no time does any other book take the place of Scripture in your life. At no time. Amen. Now, when you're coming to the point of overflow, where you slosh Jesus, find a faithful person. Now, here is where we mess up. We try to find people that are impressive in the world. We want somebody who looks a little bit like Tom Cruise. We want somebody that looks presidential. We're going to be in a presidential election. Do you know what most people look for in a president? Not policy, not leadership ability. Does he look like a president? Wow. And what you and I will look for, we'll look for somebody who is successful by the world's terms. We'll look for somebody who is important by the world's definition. But Samuel was surprised when he was sent to anoint David. Remember the story? God tells Samuel, go to Jesse's house. I'm going to anoint the king that follows Saul. He goes to Jesse's house. Jesse brings all of his sons. They're impressive. They're tall. They're good looking. They're strong. And the Lord tells Samuel, none of them. To the point that Samuel, now get the story. Samuel has to ask Jesse, do you have any more sons? Now, what father doesn't know he's one short? He looks around and he says, oh yeah, there's the runt. He's keeping the sheep. Go get him. And to the amazement of everybody, even to Samuel the prophet, God chose David. A man after his own heart is the way God describes him. And God has to tell Samuel, now Samuel, I don't look on the outside. I judge a man by the character of his heart. Amen. I don't look on the outside, which means when you start looking for this person to be in your small group, to be part of your prayer group, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to pray. The day before Jesus selected his disciples, he spent the entire night in prayer. The entire night in prayer. Then he selected the disciples. You don't know what's going on in somebody's life. You don't know how God is dealing with somebody. You don't know what lessons they've learned. You don't know where they are on their journey. The only way you will know that is for the Spirit of the Lord to tell you. So you will have to pray, and you will look for situations where God brings this person into your life and you can begin to disciple that person. Now let me stop. Some of you are new believers. You don't know what to do next. That's okay. We don't expect you to be full grown when you're born. Okay? You're trying to be a Christian husband, but you've never seen a Christian husband. You're trying to be a Christian wife. You've never seen a Christian wife. You're trying to be a Christian in your business. You've never seen a Christian in your business. What do? You pray that the Lord will send you a mentor. When you see somebody who's living the life you want to live, go ask them to be your mentor. Go ask them to be your coach. Go ask them to meet with you and see if they will help you learn what you need to learn so you can live the way that you want to live. Don't be embarrassed. All of us have had to ask somebody for help at one time or another in our life. Okay? And I've told you before, I learned to pastor a church from old pastors who loved me. And now I am the old pastor, and I don't know what happened. Okay? But I want to tell you something. The only thing a teacher ever lives for is an eager student. Show me a student that wants to learn, that wants to know, and that teacher will give you all day long. Pray that you will be able to find the person that God has chosen and pour your life into them. You pour your life into them and the expectation that they're going to do that to someone else. The purpose is not to draw a crowd. The purpose is to make missionaries for the Lord Jesus. Okay? It's not how many you bring in. It's how many you send out. Okay, and you have people all the time. Well, I've got so many hundred people in my Bible study, and I've got so many thousand people. So? We can draw a crowd. We know how to do that. The challenge is, can we send out disciples? I love the Summer Olympics. I love the relay races. One of the reasons I love them is I'm not fast. Okay? I'm not fast. I played sports where I had to be fast for three steps. Okay? Other than that, I was lost. Okay? But you see some of these people run and their head stays on the same plane. Have you seen that? The head doesn't bounce up and down. Head just stays straight. Arms going like pistons, legs. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And I've never done it, you know. Several years ago in the Summer Olympics, both the men and women's U.S. team lost. And they lost because both teams dropped the baton. All those years of practicing and Butterfingers, and the race is lost. You've always known that Christianity is one generation from extinction. And it gets down to how well we pass this baton. The baton that Jesus passed to the disciples, that the disciples passed to the early church, that the early church has passed across history, that has now come to us. In the early 1970s, that baton was passed to a pastor from North Carolina named Bill Wilson. In the early 1990s, Bill put that baton in my hands. I knew when he handed to me the baton that sooner or later I would hand that baton to someone else. You see, the baton's not a trophy, okay? You don't take the baton and run home and put it on your shelf. I got the baton. What's that on your shelf? Man, that's a baton from the Olympics. Did your team win? Oh, I don't know. I left after the second, you know, they... First guy handed it, second guy handed it to me, and I ran home. The baton isn't a trophy. You know when you get it, you're going to be passing it along. Bill gave it to me. And in a few weeks, I'll give it to Jay. It didn't stop with the death of Paul. It didn't stop with the death of Timothy. It didn't stop with Bill Wilson. It's not going to stop with me. It's not going to stop with Jay. Make sure, Brentwood Baptist Church, it doesn't stop with you.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Now, there's all kind of ways for you to respond. All kind of things you need to do. One, some of you need to get serious about your discipleship. You have been a church member, but you have never been serious. So head to the Welcome Center, tell them you want to get serious about your discipleship, find a group that's on your journey, find a mentor who will take the time to take you deeper, but do not leave until you make that happen. Some of you need to be in leadership. You know you're ready. Go find leaders in the Welcome Center, tell them you're ready to lead. Perhaps this is the first time you have thought about a relationship with Jesus Christ and what that can mean to you. You head to the Welcome Center. We're waiting on you. We want this conversation to continue. Don't leave with that question unanswered. Maybe you want to be part of Brentwood Baptist Church. You come. However the Lord has come to you, He's waiting for you where you are. The church will wait for you as you come. Lord Jesus, every life is open before you, every heart. So we pray now. The choices we make are exactly what you want.